Hi, I'm Rob, and I've been working in online or distance education for over a decade now in various institutions, but currently at the University of the Arts London.
I'm Georgia Steele. I'm a creative arts educator with 20 years of mainly residential teaching experience.
And although our backgrounds in higher education are quite different, when we started working together, we soon discovered that we had a very strong shared commitment to high quality and accessible education.
We both work at University of the Arts London in the UAL online team, where we're developing creative arts education online to widen access to our institution.
And when I first started working here a couple of years ago, my first impression was that the pedagogies used in the creative arts and those used for online learning weren't immediately compatible. We've given some examples on the poster, but in short, online learning tends to be very pre-planned and structured.
The signature pedagogies of art and design are really discursive. Our open-ended projects lead to highly individualised outcomes, and we have what Oren Shreve call a sticky curriculum. Our residential teaching is very much based on being together in the room, and our challenge is to get this experience to work online.
And these pedagogies are really highly valued in the creative arts and have a rich tradition. But so does distance education. The first reference we find to distance education is from the Boston Gazette in 1728, where we see an advert for the delivery of a shorthand course by distance learning. And I'll just read you a bit of the advert. Any persons in the county desirous to learn this art may, by having several lessons sent weekly to them, be as perfectly instructed as those that live in Boston. And I love that, even then, that really early but strong and clear commitment to the quality being just as high as in-person teaching.
One of the things that we have come together over is that our online learners are perhaps a different profile. They've got different needs. And we think of our learners as being busy and our mission to design an education that fits into their already busy lives.
And so we have a challenge, which is to resolve these difficulties or these apparent tensions. Our proposition is not just to lift and shift the approaches taken in the classroom or the studio, but to get under the skin of those approaches, find out what motivates them, and see if those pedagogic motivations can be the bridge between the creative education and online learning.
Our research used semi-structured interviews. We spoke to colleagues in a range of student-facing roles across different subject areas, and the questions focused not on how they taught, but why they taught this way. We explored the pedagogic motivations that related to teaching, individual and group support, assessment and feedback.
And we mapped these against our own manifesto for teaching and learning, our UAL online teaching and learning model, which in brief covers these four areas: flexibility for learners, proactive inclusivity in teaching and learning materials, using learning technology to enable the best possible engagement, and supporting those specialist creative approaches to teaching and learning.
The interviews were fascinating and colleagues were really generous. They gave us an insightful view into their motivations and the beliefs that underpinned their teaching. Lots of the discussion in the interviews related to course design and teaching. And for this presentation and the poster, we've focused on the theme of studio, a, if not the, fundamental pedagogy in the creative arts. So to pull out a couple of quotes from the interviews, this one gave us a really good sense of the experimental, playful pedagogies of the studio. Improvised madness in the studio with balls and bingo and fish and plastic bottles and all this kind of stuff.
This is one of my favourite quotes. Not quite as wacky as the balls and bingo, but this participant says, a lot of effort has gone into activities that also build communities within the studio, which have relevance in terms of their making, but the making isn't the focus, or it's part of the focus. It's not the only thing that they're doing. And I love the way that that reflects the complexity of the studio. It's not just a place for making, it's a place for collaborating, discussing and sharing.
In addition to building communities, we heard about the careful structure of the units and the planning that goes into the teaching and learning. There's a lot of time and effort put into really thinking about the structure of units, how one thing progresses from another, what students are going in with and what they should be achieving within those units.
One final quote from me. We're rhizomatic, we're not linear. And we're not going from point A to point B in a very straight line. We're having these conversations that can change direction, shape, form in any sort of way. And I love the way that that reflects those unexpected turns and diverse outcomes that might happen in the studio. So when we analysed the transcript of our interviews, we identified five categories of motivation. You can see them on the poster, but they are promoting engagement in the course, collaboration and discussion, support and scaffolding, connections and community, and uncertainty and unexpectedness.
On the table on the poster, we've gone on to map these motivations to our teaching and learning model and to the learning technologies that we might employ to achieve the motivations online. Here's an example. So for collaboration and discussion, we've made a note that tutor presence, synchronous and asynchronous in the learning activities, can model constructive interactions. We can still have that discursive engagement in live sessions. And in terms of tools, work sharing tools like Miro and Padlet are great ways to make work visible. An inclusive use of live meetings and messaging tools can nurture interaction, that kind of spontaneous interaction.
And to look at one more line from the table, where the motivation was to nurture that uncertainty and unexpectedness, we identified that subject specialist tutors could bring their discipline-specific approaches and knowledge to the online environment as well, synchronously and asynchronously. And we could still use projects that celebrated independent inquiry in the online teaching and learning too. We can support that with tools like, for example, by giving remote access to a wider range of resources and support from tutors in a range of university services. And again, we can do that synchronously and asynchronously and remotely. Overall, we were really pleased that our research seemed to support our hypothesis that pedagogic motivation could be this bridge between the traditional creative signature pedagogies and online or distance teaching and learning.
To do this, to make the most of the bridge, it requires really deep thought and careful planning. But this is far better than trying to replicate in-person pedagogies online. We've talked about the studio here, but we believe this approach can be equally applied to the other signature pedagogies identified in our research.
And more broadly, we think it's an approach that can be deployed in an interdisciplinary way in other subject areas beyond the creative arts too.